Hello, my soul-seeking friends. It's Shanna. Thank you so much for listening to Sense of Soul podcast, enlightening conversations with like-minded souls from around the world, sharing their journey of finding their light within, turning pain into purpose, and awakening to their true sense of soul. If you like what you hear, show me some love and rate, like, and subscribe. And consider becoming a Sense of Soul Patreon member, where you will get ad-free episodes, monthly circles, and much more. Now go grab your coffee, open your mind, heart, and soul. It's time to awaken. Today on Sense of Soul, I have Megan Mary. She is a dream worker that specializes in the analysis of women's dreams to promote transformational personal growth and enlightenment. She's the founder of Women's Dream Analysis and the host of the Women's Dream Enlightenment podcast. She is an intuitive, introvert, mystic, and author. And this is one of my favorite topics, so I'm excited about this conversation. Please welcome Megan Mary.
Hi, Shanna.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk about dreams.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, and I was listening to some of your podcasts this morning, and there's one episode you did on the Triple Goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a really cool dream about the Triple Goddess.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I felt like I was divinely guided to that one too, because I was kind of looking through and listening, and that one I got stuck on. So,
okay, that's good. Is that the episode where I talk by myself?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I really like that. So anyways, thank you so much, Megan, for being here. And I'd love to know more about how you came into this. And I mean, did you have like some amazing dreams when you were a little kid?
Yes. So both recurring nightmares as well as recurring flying dreams, amazing flying dreams. And so I loved those and wanted to know what both of them meant, wondered where I went when I dreamed and how I could live in that world a little bit more and make sense of it. And when I was a teenager, I started writing my dreams down and paying attention to what they might mean, but looked for dream dictionaries for the meaning and did that for a long time and didn't really feel like I was ever finding the exact thing that resonated with me because everybody said something different and it didn't really pan out. It didn't really seem to make sense. And so I dabbled with a lot of different esoteric and metaphysical things throughout my life. But it wasn't until I really became very ill that I had to reevaluate my life direction. And I really started returning to the wisdom of my dreams. And I had shut them off for quite some time. I wasn't listening. Didn't really want to hear what they had to say, and realized that that really was a source of so much guidance for me and the key to what I was seeking. And when I started listening, all of my guidance from my higher self came through about my new path.
Wow. That's amazing. You know, I also had recurring bad dreams when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of my earliest ones, you know, it's very real. I can see it, you know, very clearly even today, but it was this purple werewolf that used to, come into my dreams and scare me. And when I was doing my ancestral work, I learned about this like legendary myth behind this werewolf in the parish of Louisiana that my ancestors lived in Plaquemines Parish. And he was known as the Loup-Garou. Once I heard this, I saw that same vision of in my dream of that werewolf. Wow. So I feel like there was an ancestral connection.
Yes, definitely, probably. That's amazing.
I love how you fell into this through your own experience. You know, a lot of people, you know, might just study it a lot and maybe curious about it and then go into it to help other people. But, you know, I think there's a lot to say about someone who has experienced it. You know, it's kind of like for me with my ancestral journey, I mean, it took me 6 years just to do mine. So once I did mine, other people start asking me if I would help them. And then it turned into something that I do for people. But it was because of the road that I went down first.
Absolutely. I love that about you. Yes. Thank you. So it's very much the wounded healer path that we all take, right? So we all have something that happens to us that makes us go through the dark night of the soul, whatever it is, in which we discover our gifts or our true calling. And then that becomes the higher purpose that we align ourselves with when we really do the self work and put aside the fear. And so often that's what one of the reasons I really like working with life coaches a lot is because they already have done a lot of the work. They already realize the importance of doing continual inner work and how the onus really falls on you to be open and want to expand yourself. And when you do, very often you then want to pass that along to others because right. you realize how profound it's been for you and you almost have no other choice. You're really called.
So was there like a journey for you through your dreams that you were, you know, feeling that like you were like, oh my gosh, this is my calling. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yes, 100%. Then there were so many different ones, but they were so profound and dramatic, beautiful, and really prophetic, really leading me down that path. And at first, there was a lot of resistance, a lot of fear, a lot of doubt, a lot of imposter syndrome, a lot of, you know, I can't do that right now because my life is this and I'm doing this. And there's a million reasons why that won't work and I don't want to do that. And it was difficult to put all that aside, to find the courage to step into that role and say, yes, okay, I'm going to own this. This is my inner knowledge, my inner wisdom. And I know this to be true without having to pay a bunch of money to get another degree or get another certificate or get another stamp from someone when this is really the experience that I have gone through. And I know in the core of my soul that it's true and that it's valuable.
There's so many different kinds of dreams, like having visitations from loved ones. My dad visited me in my dreams.
Yes, me too. Yes. And my father passed when I was much younger as well. And I had many dreams with him. And so I really feel there's so much we don't know about the dream world. I know there's been a ton of philosophy and theory and psychology and science around the research of it. But I feel we still aren't completely grasping the spiritual aspect of it, which is why I call myself a mystic, because I'm not coming at it from a completely psychoanalytic, traditional viewpoint. Yes, I've studied those things as I've studied so many other things, but that's not all the entirety of what I think the dream world holds. And so I really take a much more spiritual perspective on it, which is why I feel that dreams can provide spiritual guidance. And by decoding them and figuring out what our own dream language is, we can gain insight and gain spiritual guidance. And that's really what I want to encourage everyone to do, is to realize that so much of our potential is in there. And if we just start listening to it and we start learning how to work with it, that the benefits can be really great, really, you know, great.
So you said dream language, that we need to figure out what our dream language is. Tell me about that. What do you mean by that?
So I view dreams as a story. And my background really is in literature. And it really was one of my great loves because I loved analyzing the story behind literature and the words. And I view dreams as a story that tell us a certain message, much like a parable would, or a lesson. And so I have a method that I call the dream mirror method, and it allows you to draw out the subconscious meanings into your waking life to decode your dream, to decipher what that meaning is of each dream. And many times people feel that their dreams are mundane or senseless or regurgitations of the day or just silly or weird, or they don't really have any particular meaning. But I believe that they really do, that every single one has a specific meaning, and that your subconscious combines all little different pieces of your subconscious into a puzzle that is perfectly put together in a certain way to send you a specific message. And it can be something that you didn't, that you're not recognizing, that you didn't realize. It could be a real advantageous thing. It can also be something that you need to work on, that, or it can be a solution to a problem you're having. And of course, we also have the ability to incubate dreams and manifest dreams to help us as well. So there's so many applications, and I feel that my method is the one that has worked best for me out of all the different approaches that I've researched and tried out. And that's partly because it puts the power back on the dreamer. So I feel it's a very empowering process. That's why I call it dream empowerment, because rather than me saying, well, you had a dream about a werewolf, wolves always mean this, that's what it means for you and me and everyone else. And yeah, I understand that there is a universal mind, and there are universal archetypes, and there are cultural histories and mythologies and so on. But at the end of the day, I think it really comes down to what your personal experience is with that. And so I don't want to put that meaning on you. I want to draw out that meaning from you by serving as a mirror to your subconscious. And I do that through a series of questions where I really pull that thread a little bit further out so that you can start to see and uncover the veil between your subconscious and your conscious, rather than me just painting a picture over it and saying, well, here's what it is.
Yeah, if I should have saw you on some of my earlier dreams, I probably would have figured out a lot earlier what they meant. You know, I feel like whenever sometimes I'm talking about dreams, I'll even confuse them with maybe a past life regression I've had or a meditation I was in. I feel like I'm in the same place. So I wouldn't say every dream, but most of the dreams that stand out to me.
And you are, because the brainwave that we experience when we dream is the same brainwave we experience when we meditate, which is theta. And so that's why meditation, and that's really one of the things that brought me back to the dream world and its importance, was reviving a meditation practice as part of my healing journey. And it really allows you to start to, on a regular basis, quiet the mind, look inwards, listen to your inner dialogue, listen to your higher self, listen to your guidance that's around you. And when we can start to just find that stillness within ourselves and quiet all the other noise that's around us, which is difficult to do in today's society, then we get closer to that world of knowledge that is the realm of dreams.
Yeah, that is so true for me. And I also found a similarity in, like, I had taken some shaman classes to learn how to journey.
Yes.
And whenever be in that space, you know, in that lower world or wherever I was, and say an animal came out, which a wolf did come out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now that I'm thinking about that. But I was lucky to have a very good teacher. In fact, her lineage is Sandra Ingermans. She had said, don't look up, you know, what your spirit animal is. What does it mean to you?
Yeah.
And coincidentally, it does usually mean similar to most people. It represents the symbolism behind it. However, it's really truly what it means to you. What does it mean for you? Because it may even change, you know, throughout time. And so I also see that about dreams. So next to my bed, I do have a dream interpretation book, but I always try to just sit with myself, use my discernment. And sometimes I just don't know. And then, like I said, it'll reveal itself over time.
Yes. It's true that we are all connected, right? So there are things that are going to happen that are similar or astral traveling and the ability to have similar dreams together and things like that. It's going to happen because we do share the universal mind, but our experience, our physical reality, and the different experiences that we've had since we were a child and through our teenagehood and then our adulthood are so unique to us that no one other person has had the same exact experience. And so it's going to just be so unique to you. And like you said, it could change too. So you could be terrified of dogs when you were growing up because a dog bit you. But then maybe as an adult, the dog saved your life. And so, you know, you're going to completely have a different association about a dog than another person. And that's the role that that symbol, animal, person, place, people play in your dream is just so unique that you have to put all the things together and look at the bigger picture. So many times when you're looking at a dictionary, it's A to Z and you're looking up D and you're only getting the one thing and you're not looking at the whole story as a whole.
Yeah. You know, I have had where one day I was talking to my daughter and I was saying, I had this crazy dream. I'm in this like terminal airport kind of type place, but it's very high. It's nothing I've ever seen. Everything is very sleek and there's like no right angles. It's all white. And there's this people mover and I'm on it. And I see that there's like these gates, but I'm looking for something and I don't even know what I'm looking for. I'm just looking. And my daughter starts finishing my sentences. She's like, wait, what? This is a reoccurring dream for me. And she is describing exactly what I've seen, but she's hiding from something. And so one day I was telling the manager at the spa that I work at, and she starts finishing my sentence. She's been there too. And I was just like, holy cow. And she's finishing my sentences. I'm like, wow. So we've all been to this place. And then just speaking about it more and more, I've heard other people have been to this place. What was interesting, when I did a QHHT session, I went there and I got validation from my higher self of what this place was.
Mm.
And what I had told her under hypnosis was that this was a terminal that you could go to any dimension. You could go to different dimensions, different planets. Just was so amazing. Then one day we're watching the movie Soul by Disney.
I haven't seen it.
And it's like this place. And me and my daughter are actually watching it together. We both look over like, I was like, maybe the person who created this movie has the same dream. Mm-hmm. And it's the people mover. And at the end of the people mover, it falls to the sky and they are like born.
Oh, interesting.
It was so crazy. But we both knew right away that that was that place.
Mm.
And it's like when the mass or the collective is having, you know, a dream about a place that doesn't exist, well, not to my knowledge anyways, in this physical realm.
Right. Yes. And that's why I feel like the dream world is so important, you know, it's, and we discard it. We just don't pay attention to it at all. And there's so much more happening. There's so much more potential.
And there's not enough spaces to be able to share this kind of stuff, or I think a lot of us would probably connect more to that.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the dream researchers, Montague Ullman, calls it dream appreciation. And he really talks about how it's not part of our cultural makeup. We don't do it as part of our family. We're not taught it in school. It's not acknowledged as anything important in our life path. And so I really feel like there's so few people just trying to just get dream appreciation out there. But we're in an awakening phase. There's a lot of people waking up, a lot of people seeking and questioning and looking for answers. And it's my hope that dreams can be, you know, another one of those portals for people that they hadn't considered before, that's accessible to them.
A lot of times people, they'll say, oh, I can't dream. I never remember my dreams. You know, how do you guide them through that?
Yes. And I hear that a lot. And I hadn't really even considered that that would be an issue because I'm such a high dream recaller. Now, one of the reasons I work with women exclusively is because they're high dream recallers. So women apparently remember dreams a lot more in depth. They also write down a more in-depth detailed record than men will. And Patricia Garfield actually has a book, Women's Bodies, Women's Dreams. And it's so interesting when you see the scientific studies that have been done, where they give you two different dream records and they say, which one's the men's and which one's the women's? Yeah. And it's because obvious. The men's are really short and they summarize and they don't give you the detail. You know, meditation, obviously, I feel is a really great portal to that. I feel like starting to have a meditation practice has so many health and stress benefits also, but it also can really open you up spiritually. It can increase your spiritual intelligence in a way because it allows you to start listening to that quiet voice that can become louder once you give it some appreciation. And I also encourage people to, I don't want to say change your sleep habit, but change a little bit what happens when you wake up. So when you first wake up, instead of immediately jumping out of bed, spend a moment in that quiet space with your eyes closed and think backwards about what you were just doing. So it's kind of like when you walk into a room and you go, why did I come in here? I totally lost my train of thought. What was I just going to do? Yeah. And you have to stop and you have to think backwards. Okay, yeah, I was just talking with you about that. And then, oh yeah, that's right. I was going to do this. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that, except you're thinking backwards about where you just were, who you were just talking to, what you were just trying to figure out, what you were just concentrating on, what you were just experiencing. It takes practice. Even for me, it takes practice on a regular basis. But when you can take the time to just think for a moment, you'll sometimes get a hit when you just have to be patient and you'll get a little hit. Oh yeah, I was walking in the mountains or whatever. And then you concentrate on that image as much as you can. And when you do, the rest of it just starts to illuminate, starts to appear. It's like pulling back that curtain. Oh yeah. And before that I was doing this. And then I was talking, and there was these other people there and I was talking to them. And before that, this happened. And before that, this happened. And so it's really just having that patience and that openness to start revealing that world.
And you know, it also feels like a deja vu a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like, you barely have it. Like,
yep.
It's almost there. Which is interesting because I feel like there's a lot of times I dream about people I've never seen before, situations I've never been in before, a place I've never seen, a person I've never met, yet they're bringing me like some divine wisdom.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I would say the majority are people that I don't recognize or don't know. And that, I mean, I do have a lot of dreams about certain people that are in my life predominantly, like my husband's always, you know, he's always seems to be there, or it seems like maybe he's there, but I didn't see him, but I feel like he's there. But a lot of times it's really just some random woman come up to me and tells me something. And it's like, whoa, okay. This is significant. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so weird. You know, also I would say that I think most of us have experienced lucid dreaming or have at least tried. It's those dreams that where you wake up and you're like, oh, I want to go back into the dream. I want to go back. I want to, you know, experience that more, or I want to change something. Sometimes you can and sometimes you can't.
Yeah.
And God, I hate when I can't. I hate when I can't go back.
Well, waking visualizations done while you're awake can actually be a great way to re-enter a dream scenario that you want to change the ending for. And can be a very therapeutic practice. So you can use your meditation as part of that and go into a visualization where you re-enter that dream scenario that you remember, but then imagine a different outcome for yourself. And in doing that, it's kind of subconsciously giving a suggestion to your subconscious so that the next time it presents that scenario, it may end up going a different way. Also, if you can attain a state of lucidity once you find yourself in that same situation again. So this is a really great strategy for recurring dreams and nightmares. If you're able to obtain lucidity and say, oh, wait, I'm dreaming right now. I don't want who's chasing me, or I don't want to keep running, or I want to change this. I don't want to be here right now. That you can then influence the direction of the dream. And that can be extremely powerful and extremely healing. The benefits are so wide ranging, and also just really gain a self confidence, a sense of empowerment, because you no longer feel like you're just the observer, but you actually have some agency. And that then begins to reflect in your waking life. That you,
your waking life, yes.
Feel that you have that agency, yeah. Which you do, because many times our limitations are just the illusions that we put on ourselves that come from our subconscious. They really have this whole synergistic effect on each other. And when you can start to influence your dream content, it then synergistically benefits your life positively. And when your life is benefited positively, then your dream content starts to reflect that, and so on.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you can do that in your dream, why would you not be able to do that in real time? Yeah. Quantum physicist Cynthia Sue Larson, who I had on, she said, we need to be living like we're in a lucid dream.
Yeah. Yes. And I think quantum physics has so much to teach us about the dream world, because it really is beyond time and space. That's why it has so much potential. That's why so much is possible in the dream space, from, like you said, visitations to premonitions to astral travel to encountering our spirit guides and receiving past guidance life. From our higher self and experiencing mm-hmm. past life. All those things are possible in the dream world, because I feel like it's not part of this world. And it's not constrained to the limitations of this 3D world. And we're part of it, because I feel that we're spirits having a human experience. So we're spirits before, and we're going to be spirits after. And when we dream, we're spirits again.
Hey, animal lovers. Have you ever wondered what your fur baby is thinking? Or you just want to connect with your animal on a deeper level? Well, look no further than Sense of Soul's new affiliate, animal communicator, the talented Nicole Harp. Nicole can help you intuit the connection between your soul and higher source as she uncovers and shares important insights with you to create a happy and joyful life for both you and your loving animal. Nicole connected to my dogs, Ayla and Rascal, and it was one of the neatest sessions I have ever experienced. She offered my family a glimpse into their world and offered helpful suggestions, making information individualized and purposeful, which led to healing for the whole family. She creates an open-hearted experience that you will remember and treasure. Wait no longer to connect with your soul and the souls of your loving animals. Contact Nicole today and experience the magic of her work. Go to her website, harpspace.org. That's harpspace.org. And make sure to tell Nicole that you found her from Sense of Soul Podcast. You can also go to www.senseofsoulpodcast.com under the Network of Lightworkers. You can find these links in the show notes. Now back to our amazing guest. Can you share one of your profound dreams?
Well, I had this dream that it was after I had released my podcast. And so I had felt really called by spirit to do this all to start the dream analysis and really build my business up. But I had no intent to start a podcast. And then I kind of received notice that, yes, I was going to create a podcast. And I didn't even listen to podcasts at that point. So I was kind of like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And so I started doing that. And after I feverishly worked to get 13 episodes ready, because 13 is my favorite number and I wanted there to be 13 episodes, and I released season one on summer solstice. And then I had a dream where this woman appeared to me, and there was all these people that were having a big party behind her and they were celebrating. And she came up to me and she said, "You've done well." And I was like, "Thank you. Wow." And it seemed like all of my guides were just celebrating that I had finally found the courage to do this and to really put myself out there in the world. Because as an introvert, I'm not going to go on video. I'm just going to, you know, I really wanted to hide completely. I had no intent of putting myself out there. And the more I did, the more I was rewarded in the dream world. It just seemed like they were really cheering for me and happy that I was taking on the path.
You're able to use your voice and face this fear. Yeah, it's so powerful. I know it is for me, you know, the things that I've been able to share that I would never share.
Right.
Never. I saw vulnerability as like negative, really negative before.
Absolutely.
You don't tell people your business.
And right.
And powerful.
Yes. Yes. And there's so much power in vulnerability. And the more that I tell my story, the more other people want to share theirs. And it really accumulates that dream appreciation, but it also creates a space where people can start to feel comfortable sharing their dreams, because people are so often ashamed of them because they didn't have any agency in creating them, they feel like, and they feel like they were just thrust upon them and now they don't know what to do with them. And so it's really creating that space to say, look, you can share this. And not only can you share this, but it has a huge benefit potential for you that I want to encourage everybody to access.
I love that. So I do want to share my dream with you on the Triple Goddess. I had these very divine moments with the actual moon. And then I actually had a circle on the Triple Goddess, and we had just discussed it. So it was very, very prominent in my mind. And I went to bed that night, and I'd been having issues with my own mom, not like issues, but she was moving back and forth from Colorado to Louisiana, like back and forth. And I'm like, that is going to lose my shit because I have to do it all. You know, every time she moves, I've got to call the movers and do all the things. And so it just was a lot. So I have this dream, and it was pretty much in the early morning I had this dream. And the goddess Bridget was there. And so I have this vision of Bridget with this long, beautiful hair, with this green dress and all this stuff. But no, in my dream, she had like straggly hair, by the way, like almost like my hair, but worse, like straggly. And she had no makeup on. She was very pale. And she was like right in my face, like over my bed. And I was like, what are you doing here, Bridget? And all of a sudden, she like moved back, and my mama, my grandma, we have mamas in Louisiana. My mama shows up. And as soon as I saw her, I mean, it was beyond seeing her. I could feel her. And I could feel her so much that I started to cry. And I was like begging her not to leave because it was so real. And so I was like, forget Bridget. Like all of this is so like crazy how real it feels. And I could feel her. And I was like, please don't leave. Please don't leave. Like I can feel you. I can feel you. And then all of a sudden it came to me and I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, Mama, how can I help my mom? How can I help her? I was like expressing that I didn't feel like I was doing good enough. And then my great grandma comes in. And then all of a sudden, Bridget comes in and she holds her hand like to my mama and she goes, this is your crone. And she goes to my grandmother, my great grandmother, and she goes, this is your mother's crone. And I was like, well, then who am I? She goes, you're her daughter. You're her maiden. And she goes, stop mothering your mother. You are her maiden. Well, then how can I help her? And she goes, just as you would expect of your maiden. You wouldn't let her carry everything, would you? And I was like flipped. I never saw ever the aspect of the Triple Goddess as actual grandmothers and mothers. And I never saw any of this. And it was so wicked profound for what I was going through in my life. And I was crying so hard. I was like hyperventilating. And I woke up my partner and he's like, are you okay? And I was like, no, my mama was here. I was like, she was here. It was so real. And I was like flipped. And then I wrote everything down and I called my cousin because, you know, I'm like, I saw mama in a dream. She has two. And she was like, oh, that's so interesting since it's All Saints Day. The day before it was Halloween, which in Louisiana is a day to go to our ancestors' graves and to connect with them as the veil thins.
Mm-hmm.
So cool, Megan. Mm-hmm. It was so amazing.
That's very powerful. And I love the two things I love about that. One is Halloween, because that's my absolute favorite holiday. And that's because the veil is thinnest on that day. And also that you had listened to my podcast about the four stages. because I really always knew about the triple goddess, but I always felt like I don't know where I fit in. And in that episode, I talk about how I felt stuck in the maiden stage because I wasn't going to be a quote unquote physical mother and didn't know where that left me because I didn't want to be the crone either. So that's when I invented the new paradigm of the four sages.
Yeah.
Which is the spirit source seeker and sage. I think it just really reinvents and blows the whole thing up because spirit to me is when we're closest to it as children, when we believe in the ability to communicate with spirits and all of the magic that's around us. And we're allowed to, it's okay. We're almost encouraged to. But then when we move past that, we're told that we can't do that. And then we move into that source stage where we're really starting to be told you have to create things, you have to create your world, you have to have a career, you might become a physical mother, you have to be the source of everything that you want in the world. And once we go through that stage, and it doesn't have to be linear, but many of us enter into what are I call the seeker stage. And that's really where we say, but I did all that. And now there's something missing. I still don't understand why I'm here. What's my purpose? There's more than meets the eye than this physical world. And I want to know more. And I want to really align myself with my powers. And I want to help others. And I want to step into this, you know, knowing. And then the sage, I feel, is that final step where we really have acquired all that knowledge and we've done the work to uncover our true purpose. And then we can start guiding others on that path where they can benefit from everything that we've experienced and we're giving back. I mean, I always wanted to be a sage. I thought that was like a fabulous thing to be. So I reinvented those four chapters because I feel like they empower us on our journeys.
Yeah. You know, the moon, she dances across the sky. She's unpredictable. She shares different sides of herself. And the sun's just so predictable. It does the same thing. It rises in the east and sets in the west every day, which we need to have organization and schedule. But women are always going through these phases.
Yes. And so I just had this summit called the Lunar Wisdom Summit, and I had 12 women come in from all over the world and speak on lunar wisdom and how they integrate the phases of the moon into their work. And it was also spirit-led that I even put it together. And it was fascinating to hear how they all incorporate it. And I spoke on how we can incorporate the moon phases into our dream work, because particularly as women, we're extremely tied to the cycles of the moon, and our hormones affect our dream recall and our dream content. And we can use the different phases of the moon to do different types of dream work. And so really aligning ourselves with that power is so therapeutic and beneficial because we're part of that. We're being affected by it. So whether we acknowledge it or not is, you know, we're not really embracing and taking advantage of that power that's there for us.
So true. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. Share with our listeners where they can contact you and where they could find your podcast. Tell them all the things.
Yeah. So you can find me at womensdreamanalysis.com. And on there, I have live events and dream sessions. I have something called Dream Journeys, which is a series of sessions. I also have an online self-paced course for women's dream decoding. And I also have one for spiritual practitioners, which is that course expanded. So for other women who are working in a spiritual modality, for them to learn how they can incorporate dream work into their healing art. And then I also recently launched something called the Women's Dream Collective, and it's an online space for women to seek, share, and support each other. I do live dream circles and networking circles, and it's just a wonderful place where I have all of my podcast guests come in and everyone else that I've crossed paths with, and I hope that we can all just share our energies together. So my podcast is called Women's Dream Enlightenment. You can also find that on my website, Women's Dream Analysis. And on that podcast, I do live dream interpretations, deep discussions, and have women come on and share their stories of spiritual awakening.
Awesome. I'll put everything in the show notes. I love this so much. You know, dreams are so important to me. It's so important. I say this almost every episode, almost. Thanks for coming on. Awesome.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to Sense of Soul Podcast. And thanks to our special guests for joining me. If you want more of Sense of Soul, check out my website at www.mysenseofsoul.com, where you can work with me one-on-one or help support Sense of Soul Podcast by donating to my coffee fund. Thanks for listening.